something was going on over here.
Yeah, I mean, they laughed. They saw it, and they laughed, and, you know.
Well, and it's fair to say your assertion is not that McCabe punched this guy. Your assertion is that the SEALs were taking turns with this guy.
Right.
I mean, they were rotating through like it was a regular line beating.
Right, and I had, and the reality of this is McCabe probably did the least amount. It's just what I saw.
Now, I don't know, you don't have any law enforcement experience yet, but you have a pretty good idea about how much people weigh. Can you give me an idea how much the detainee weighed?
He was a fairly tall Iraqi. He probably weighed 170.
Heavy guy? Slight guy?
He was slim.
Slim? So like a runner more than a boxer.
Right.
So this guy took a beating from at least four Navy SEALs,
right.
And he had a busted lip.
Right.
I mean, doesn't that seem a little unusual to you? I mean, if all these guys are in there taking turns, don't you think this guy would be a package of hamburger by the time they get done with him?
Right. I mean, that's something, I mean, they're all very, very strong guys.
But he wasn't busted up that bad.
No, any kind of strikes, like the one I saw, and I, you know, it would have been to the stomach where there's not too much visible evidence. But even then, I mean, I still thought there could have been, like, some kind of internal bleeding or something, given the shape that these guys were in.
Did you see any bruising on his stomach?
No. It would have been too early to even see bruising. I never saw it.
Did they find bruising on his stomach?
I don't believe so. Yeah.
And when you walked him out to hand him over to Anil, he was walking fine.
Yes.
And not spitting blood.
He was spitting blood. He was spitting blood right in front of the Iraqis.
Later.
He wanted them to know.
Later. So
when later. When it was just me and Lieutenant O'Neill, he wasn't spitting blood.
He was PT Keen when you guys, I mean, he was healthy. He was a picture of health when you guys took him out to the four-wheeler or whatever.
Minus the small cut on his lip.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, he was in bad shape as soon as he heard Arabic.
Yes.
How's he spitting blood?
How is he spitting blood?
Where did blood come from?
I didn't know if it was, you know.
Is he like coughing and spitting or is he going
to
push
like that?
And did you see it was actually blood or just...
Yeah, it was blood. I don't know, I mean, the thing to his lip, who knows how that happened. Could it have been self-inflicted? Yes, it could have. I'm not saying that it wasn't. And that could have been where the blood was coming from, and like I thought, you know, maybe he got punched so hard in the stomach that he was coughing up blood, but it wasn't like he was bent over coughing up, like puking blood. It wasn't like that, and that's what, if someone were to get punched extremely hard in the stomach, that's what would be, you know, would cause that. But it was just, no, he was just spitting blood, and he wanted the Iraqis to know that, you know, that he had been abused.
Hey, Mr. Anthony, do you need to pee? Or?
No, I'm fine.
You
good? Thank you.
Okay.
So is there anything you want to tell us about it that hasn't come out or something that you feel is important that people don't know or need to know?
I just think that by McCabe being charged for this whole thing, it's an outrage. You know,
who do you think is responsible for
the entire platoon? You know, it's my fault.
Well, name names. The entire platoon is a lot of guys. There's 10 guys, and you've only named about six.
Okay, everybody in the SEAL platoon minus two. Minus Lieutenant O'Neill and SL1 Crawford.
Okay, so Crawford and O'Neill were the two.
I'm not saying that everybody actually abused him, but every other SEAL were taking turns in there, and they at least saw something. And I'm telling you, like, McCabe, I know that. I know him. You know, yeah, I only knew him for 5 months, but we had a pretty close relationship. And I still think he's a good guy. After all this stuff, he just had a really bad guy. If he, given the opportunity, if his senior leadership would have said, Matt, you know, all right, you punched him, we all did, we're just going to admit to it. You know, being that he was responsible for this, you know, I don't think that we're going to be, you know.
Well, if you're such good friends with McCabe, why don't you go to him and go, guys, hey, my ass is in the wind here, help me out.
Right, and that's what I did, but they just kept on assuring me that these investigations happen, every deployment, nothing ever happened and stuff. And
so you did discuss getting some help from McCabe and Huertez about, like, hey, guys, help me cover up here.
No, not never to cover it up, but I made it clear that my ass was on the line for it.
What did they say to you?
In all the meetings, you know, they were just telling me, like, Huertez, they were just telling me stories about their past, like, as far as being in the Navy, like, things that they've been under investigation for and things that they've gotten away with.
Okay, let's take that. In other words, suppose you had said to McCabe, man, my ass is in the wind, and McCabe said, hey, don't worry, we got you back. You would have felt better about that, right?
He said that. He said, you know, because I questioned him, and I was like, Matt, you know, I'm really scared. And he told me that, you know, even if we just lie about it, we'll be fine. You know, even if we all lie, you know, like consecutively, like all of our lies made sense, that we'd be fine. And he said, even if one of us goes down for this, it will be one of us, not you. So.
you didn't trust him or believe him.
I'm just a bad liar. I mean, it's so much easier just to remember the truth instead of, you know, because when you start lying, you have to remember your lie, and you have to differ between the lie and the truth. You know, and it's harder to remember a lie than it is to remember the truth. Yeah, and given the opportunity for McCabe and Keith too. They're both good guys, and they treated me, you know, with the utmost respect the entire time I was out there.
Do you feel like Higbee's the lead swinger?
Yes. And I mentioned that to, you know, but it's just, I didn't see an actual fist hit him. It was just, you know, unfortunate that I saw McCabe, because McCabe's one of the last guys that I want to get in trouble, just because I really care about.
What did the prosecutor say about your role in this going to be, in terms of, they say that you can get in trouble for having lied initially, or?
They've never brought that up. I understand that's a strong possibility.
Never.
I knew that when I reported it.
Never offered immunity.
Yeah, why are you just walking into this thing without any type of protection or anything else?
I haven't really, I mean, I guess if charges come up against me, I'm going to have no choice. But, I was just so scared. I didn't know, it's not like I was dealing with, you know, a bunch of fellow master at arms. I mean, these guys, they're Navy SEALs. I had the utmost respect for them, I had a very good working relationship with them and stuff, and it's not a decision that you make in a blink of an eye. Hey, I'm going to throw these guys, you know, report them and possibly put the rest of their career on the line.
But there's a little contrast in what you say. There's this great relationship you have with the SEALs.
Right.
And then but they didn't respect me because I wasn't doing any work.
No, that's something that I...
Bad reputation.
Your word. I use the terminology bad reputation, but it was more of just, I guess you could say, not pulling my weight. Because it's not that I didn't want to pull my weight, it's just everyone else worked much harder than I did. I tried to stay busy, but there were only so many things that I could do. Everybody else had a job. It's just, it's pretty much me and the SEALs that didn't do it. All we did was just worked out. And then once they went on operation, when they went on operation, I was one of the busiest guys. But they weren't going on a lot of operations.
They'd go on ops, and now that we take guys back, right?
There's a couple of big botched attempts.
So they came back with 5 to 10 of these two guys are brothers. But
yes.
They go out on ops sometimes, they won't pick guys up. So it's not like they only went out 5 nights or 4 nights, right?
Right. They would go out on ops, and like either the guy wouldn't be in the house, or it wasn't the guy they were looking for, stuff like that.
So, and you were basically on their schedule then?
No, I was on the completely opposite. They were up at nighttime. And then I kind of liked my gym and stuff by myself.
But you
so.
Worked when they were, essentially.
Not really. That's why I was up for so, because like, I had to suck it up. When they did bring a guy back, I was up on my normal schedule, and then I had to be up when they were, you know. But they were generally, they woke up around, you know, 1400, 1500, and then they would be up all night, and then I'd go to bed. So I kind of did my own thing throughout the day.
Hey, if we asked Tamino about you, what would you say?
So, you know, Tamino and I didn't have a good relationship. He's not the kind of guy that, I didn't trust him. He got really jealous of me when I took over the lead detainee handler position. Morally and stuff, I think he'll be pretty accurate on it. Like, you know, the way I think about things, stuff like that. But in my opinion, he's not a very credible source. Just the kind of person he has, the kind of background he has. So,
what's his background?
It's kind of personal, but he's had like extensive drug background and stuff like that. And,
you mean he used drugs?
Yes.
Did he tell you that?
Yes.
Like before the Navy?
Yes. Oh, yeah, it was before the Navy.
Yeah.
And he had a worse reputation. He had an actual bad reputation. Like, that terminology would be correct for him. Because he, like, people looked at him, they called him Sticky Fingers and stuff like that, because he'd always be into stuff, you know, putting in his personal collection and everything like that.
Do you ever reach out to any of the Marines when you're over there, or the end of the SEALs when you're over there?
All the time.
How would that work out? Would they come get you? You go with them?
We just had these personal drives. We had like 6 or 7 Hiluxes, and we would just all drive. And we, you know, there'd be multiple vehicles that were taken, but a lot of times we had this one little section where, you know, it was all Marines, and then like the SEAL team was kind of like in this one little section where we'd all sit down and kind of eat together.
But where does come get you? Or Keith or McCabe?
There's times where Keith and McCabe are like best friends, and they would go. A lot of time they were kind of on their own. Their own schedule and stuff. They did things on their own. But there were times that I did ride with them every once in a while. lot of times it was I went with Fryant and Lieutenant J.G. Heiss and then Broberg.
Yeah.
And
Heiss fire enlisted.
Yeah, he's enlisting. Yep. He was a chief and then he ODO.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's always got.
Why do you think O'Neill and some other people who are witnesses in this case are getting lawyers?
Why do I think that?
Yeah.
I really don't have a lot of experience in this area. I mean, this is my first involvement in anything like this.
Have the prosecutors advised you or talked to the
lawyers? I realize, but it's not a question of was it a thing to do. He was. And he was turned in. I don't know if you guys seen the photos. He was fine. And he was turned over, and he'd been roughed up. So it's not a question of was he abused. It was just who did it. So by them, you know, denying it, who did it, you know. It is really easy to say, you know, the guy that had him for a few hours by himself, which is me. I understand it. I mean, I knew that I wasn't out there. It's not like I just reported this, and I said, hey, I'm home free. I understand that it's reality that I might, you know, charges might be brought up on me. But
no possibility that his lip was busted in the takedown at his house?
No. And you can look at the pictures. Like I said, that could be self-inflicted. But, you know, I never saw that at all.
It could have been during those hours that you had him back at the camp.
Right. I never saw him. He could have gone at it, you know, under the mask or anything like that, but the first time that I actually saw the blood was when McCabe hit him. So.
SF specialist or support personnel Army style now, specialist. Who
no,
did?
We just we had I think two Army guys there. One was a staff sergeant and one was a sergeant.
Okay, no Army medic took a look at this guy.
No.
To your knowledge.
Can
no.
you get copies made of them?
Okay. I don't have it. I'm sure we can get it.
Just details. I'm a nitpicky guy. Sorry. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Appreciate your time.
Okay.
For coming in.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for sitting down.
Okay.
Bit of time. It's 6:18:20 on 11th. You're all done.